You know, the story of Daniel and the lion's den has entered our national consciousness. As a matter of fact, our language has adopted the image of the lion's den. It's become sort of a cultural cliche. We say that when we're having tough times, when we're going through difficulty, that we've been thrown into the lion's den. Or if the IRS is auditing you, you know you've been thrown into a den of lions. But few people know the true story and how it begins or ends. And they don't know the God behind the story. As we read this sacred text today and ask the Holy Spirit of God to open our understanding, let us determine to get the truth behind the cliche, to grasp the wisdom that has been lost in a world that does not value the Word of God. The story of Daniel and the lion's den is more than history. It is a model for today. It is an insight into God's nature and a guide unto our steps. Let's go before Him and pray. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come this morning, we ask that You would set aside all the mouths of the lions that would attack us. That You would put a muzzle on Satan this morning and not allow him to nip at our heels or make us think of things that we should not think about. And may we concentrate on Your Word by the power of Your Spirit. Father, I ask You to cast out, as always, my words, because I'm always learning how weak and foolish my words are. But Father, at the same time, I understand how great and powerful and full of life are Your words. And those are the words we desire to hear today. So Holy Spirit, come, illuminate for us in a way that no man can teach. Illuminate for us the word that we will study today, so that we may leave this place filled with greater wisdom and knowledge than we had when we walked in, that we'll be equipped to walk out of these doors into whatever situation we're called, that those who may be among us who do not know Jesus as their personal Savior may hear in these words, even written in the Old Testament, how much Your love for us is and how great a Savior Jesus is. For we ask these things in His precious name. Amen. You know, there has been in Christian history many who were thrown into the lion's den and destroyed for the amusement of the pagan crowds. The shows in the Colosseums from Rome to Alexandria, and in history, from Nero to Hitler to today, the Muslim world, Sudan and Egypt, and all over the world, and even here in our own backyard, in our own schools, in our own houses of worship, in our own backyard, where they're witnessing people who are persecuted for their faith. And so many today feel like they've already spent some time in the lion's den. But what does the Scripture teach us? Is this some cautionary tale that we're to learn from? Or is this just a historical fact? Or is there something so much more? Paul Harvey used to say, "For the rest of the story." Let us look now in Daniel chapter 6. We'll start with verse 14 and we'll go until the end of the chapter. "And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, King, O king, that is the law of the Medes and the Persians, that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. And so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke to Daniel, Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid at the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now when the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him, also his sleep went from him. And then the king rose early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him, and also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all of their bones to pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote, To all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. You know, sometimes it's good to review briefly the situations that took place just before these scriptures. And you may remember that Daniel was set above two other presidents just below the king. And he was set above the 120 princes who ruled. And he was set in this position, and the king loved him and honored him. He was an older man. He was 90 years old plus when this happened. He was considered a very honest man, full of integrity. That's the reason for his elevation. He was elevated to this place, and we find that those underneath him, those who had to now be accountable to Daniel, started feeling uncomfortable with a man of integrity above them. It meant that you could not steal. You could not be as corrupt. You could not trade favors for power and privilege and pleasure. Because Daniel was single-mindedly judging on the basis of what was good for the king he served. And so they decided to try to get rid of Daniel, and they looked for dirt that they could sprinkle about his reputation. And they searched and searched, but could find nothing, because there was nothing known about Daniel that was not worthy and good. And so they decided to use two different devices. They would use flattery of the king, and they would use the law so that they might entrap Daniel, because they knew that if they could not find dirt on him, maybe they could manipulate him in such a way that Daniel would be put in a position whether he had to obey his king or obey his God. And they knew enough about Daniel to believe that he would obey his God before he obeyed his king. Those are the things that was going on just before these scriptures. And that's the reason, once the king found out that this trap had been laid and it had come and captured Daniel, who he loved, he suddenly realized that these men had lied to him about having gone to all the counselors. They hadn't gone to Daniel, obviously. And that he realized that he had been flattered, and he realized that he was part of the reason for Daniel's distress. And so he looked for a place, a way for him, the king, to rescue Daniel. But the king found something that all of us find. He found he was powerless. He had no power. He could not free Daniel. He was as enslaved to the law as Daniel was. He had a master. Sometimes we do things. We try to do things. We struggle and we try to take control of things ourselves. And then we find out we just don't have the strength in our own flesh to do it. And we find out that even when we force something to happen, there are unforeseen consequences that become back to us to haunt us and to worry us. The more responsibility you have, the more power you have, the more this particular evil begins to come against you. If you are those who are in power over us, the Congress and the Senate, the President and all of the people there, you have an awesome responsibility, and I can't even imagine how a good man can stand up underneath that pressure, because every decision he makes is a life or death decision for somebody. And there are always unforeseen consequences to every decision that they make. If they pass a law, it's going to gorge somebody's ox. It's going to step on somebody's toes. If they make a decision, a life and death decision, to send our troops overseas to shoot and kill a man, or if we drop bombs to kill a man, those are decisions that we make. They're awesome decisions. I only pray that they go before the face of God before they make them. Because if they make them on their own, I can tell you that there will be consequences to pay. If they make them under God's leadership, then they can rely on Him to make things right. But this background for our text is very important, that we realize that we too, like this king, are powerless sometimes to do the things that only God can do. Verse 16 through 18, so the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel, cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God whom you serve continually, He will deliver you. And then a stone was brought and laid at the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of the lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. There were no musicians were brought before him, and sleep would not come. See, the king set in motion an event that God was going to use. God was going to use the event that was set in motion by the king and the king's weakness to express His power and glory. What was meant for evil is going to be changed and turned to good because God was in control. Charles Haddon Spurgeon reminds us that the king didn't need to worry too much because the lions were not going to find Daniel very appetizing, because he was 50% backbone and 50% bristle. But the king worried. Have you ever worried about things you said to your children, things you said to your neighbor, things that you said to people who are in your Sunday school class or someone else, advice that you had given? You know, if it wasn't of God, you may too spend some sleepless nights because you worry that you said the right thing. Were my words of healing, or were they words of destruction? The only way that you can know that they're words of healing is to submit to God. I am terrified for those people in the New Age movement who think that that some spirituality, some object, some crystal, some pyramid has a healing power. The only person who has power to heal is our God. Verse 18 to 23, again, the king is spending time fasting, and he rises early in the morning, he runs in haste. You know, first let's note that because of the lifestyle of Daniel, because of his faith and the character that came out of that faith, the king had hope that God, Daniel's God, would protect him, even from him, even from his mistakes. Have you ever prayed that over your children? Boy, I've prayed it over mine. God, do not visit my sins upon my children. Don't let my stupidity, my ignorance affect them. Your lifestyle of love and honesty and loyalty, integrity, those things should grow out of your relationship with God. So that when the pagan world looks at you, like the pagan king looked at Daniel, he sees God working in you and is drawn to the one true God. That is a major portion of our witness. To live a life that pleases God so that people see Jesus in you. There's also a beautiful spiritual lesson in Daniel's deliverance. The den of lions prefigures the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. I want you to look at the contrast between Jesus being buried and Daniel being shut up in the lion's den. Now, first, there was a roll of a stone. Remember? Stone was rolled in place, and it was sealed. You remember that Jesus' tomb was sealed by the seal of Rome. Guards were set outside. So that what? No one could change what had been done. Nobody could roll away the stone. Daniel went into the den of lions, and Jesus went into the jaws of death and was delivered from death because death could not hold him in the ground. And like Daniel, the stone rolled away. People were amazed, and they cried out, "He's alive!" Couldn't believe what had happened. As Daniel was delivered from the lion's den, he would not be thrown in again because he had already paid the price that the law demanded. You and I don't have to spend time in hell because Jesus already paid the price which the law demanded. Daniel was raised up because he was no longer underneath the law. He had now was going to be restored to his former position. Jesus is raised up. He's no longer under the seal of death. He's going to be able to regain his former position there on the throne with God. Verse 23. The king reacted with gladness. Now, Daniel wasn't even hurt at all because he believed in his God. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember when they were cast in the fiery furnace, they all came out. Not a hair on their head was singed. Not a hair on their body was singed. They were not hurt at all because Jesus had been right there with them in that firestorm. And it's my true belief that Jesus was in that lion's den to close the mouths of lions. And he'll be with you too. But today, too many of us dwell on the comforts of this life. The Bible calls us to be willing to enter the lion's den without knowing beforehand whether or not we're going to be rescued or not. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before they were cast into the fiery furnace? They said, "We're going to go there, and our God can deliver us. But whether he does or not, we're not going to serve you, we're going to serve him." That's pretty tough. You can get people to say, "Hallelujah, amen, and jump up and give you money and everything, you know, make your church full of people. If you preach a gospel that's all about the good things that's going to happen to you without anything being asked of you. It just doesn't line up with the Bible. In the Bible, people go and do these things not knowing for sure that they're going to be rescued. They know God can. They just don't know if God will. They do not know the purposes of God to that extent. None of us do. Paul said we look through a glass darkly. We cannot know all of the things. But the Bible calls us to be willing to enter the lion's den without condition. Without condition. We still serve Him, even when we're persecuted. You know, during Nero's time, Christians were really persecuted. They weren't just slapped on the wrist for bringing a Bible to work or saying a prayer before a math test. They were really persecuted. And during Nero's time, he would take Christians, he would burn them alive on poles. And he decided that that was such a good idea that he would use them as human torches. He would light them on fire so that the light from their burning would actually illuminate his garden parties. That's a fact. Think about that. To be a light unto this world, you may need to be a torch for a pagan party. You love God enough to do that? There is a novel, a Polish novel, that they made a movie of called Kwo Vadis. And in it, the Apostle Peter, during this time when Christians are being thrown into the Colosseum to be destroyed by lions and being used as human torches, runs away from the city with a small group of Christians. And on the way, it says that he meets Jesus coming the other way. And he says, Lord, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to Rome to be crucified again. He says, why? He says, because my servant Peter has turned his back on the cross. And Peter says, oh no. No, no. No, Lord. I'll go back and die for you. Being thrown in a lion's den has become a little cliche. But that is not what the Bible is teaching. The Bible is not filled with cliches. The Bible is filled with truth. We, each of us, need to understand that we're supposed to live the life that God wanted us to live and die when He calls us to in His service. Daniel didn't know that the lions would not eat him when he went in. But he believed that whether he lived or died, God would be with him and all would be right. Paul said to live is Christ, to die is gain. Each of us should have that attitude. In verse 24, and the king gave a command and brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they were cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke them, all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. You know, when people reach out to harm God's anointed, God often puts them in harm's way. The wages of sin is death, and those that lied about and tried to destroy God's anointed man found that the generational curse was true. But the sins of the fathers were visited upon the children. There's only one way to break that curse, and that is to confess our sins and ask Jesus to save us, forgive us, and have mercy on us. And as a result, in verses 25 through 27, in response to God's deliverance, a pagan messenger sends a message of faith into a pagan world. Some want to ask, well, if God is good and God is in control, then why do bad things happen to those who follow Him? Well, God used the lion's den for His purpose and for His glory, and the result was that throughout the pagan world, unbelievers begin to understand that God is and that God is actively involved in our lives. Now, we may not face the den of lions, but God requires us to live our lives in submission to Him. Before a world that is watching how we respond to the growling and the gnawing and the roar of the lions in our life. The lions eat you, they asked. Or was your God able to sustain you? Was your God able to lift you up when they said you had cancer? And you were thrown into the lion's den, and you had a heart condition, and you had diabetes, and you were going blind, and you had all manner of things happening to you. In the midst of that den, did the lions eat you or did God preserve you? Not only did God preserve you so that you could come back and tell me the truth like Lazarus from the grave, but did God preserve you, your witness, your love of Him, your faith in Him throughout the trials? You see, all of us are called to be in the lion's den. But God comes to be in the midst of it with us. Whether they kill us or burn us at the stake, He is to receive the glory. He said, don't worry about the one who can take your life. Worry about the one who can cast your soul into hell. We need to be people who stand up and say, this is who I am. I am someone who believes in God because He believed. Because of his faith, God used him. He may use me in my death more than in my life. He may use you in your sickness more than at any other time. You know, people really come around you and listen to you when you are deathly ill. You know, when I was lying in the hospital with a heart attack, I was amazed how many people thought that the words I spoke were wise words. Never would listen to me before. But as I lay there in bed, suddenly I had the wisdom of Solomon. That's the world looking at us and saying, hey, have the lions eaten you yet? Or has your God somehow used you for His purpose? How many people sitting in Nero's little garden parties at night thought much, if anything at all, about the light that was illuminating that garden and the price that people paid for that light? Very few, probably. But that was not the point. I am telling you about it today, 2,000 years later, because it is a witness to the character and the courage and the faith of those who died lighting that pagan garden. He doesn't promise us that we'll all go into the lion's den and come out without any teeth marks. He doesn't promise us that we'll all go into the fiery furnace and come out without all of our hair being singed. What He promises is to be in the fire and in the storm and in the lion's den with you. And if He be with you, who can be against you? What can be against you? Jesus said, I have overcome the world. We're supposed to be overcomers too. We're supposed to overcome the world. But when God takes you through a hardship, God took Paul through an event in his life a couple of weeks ago. I was praying for him. I know other people were praying for him. He had been had this affliction in his chest where he felt, said it felt like a hand gripping his heart for 30 or 40 years. And it's gone, praise God. It's gone. Devil had to let go his grip on Paul. And it was a grip of fear and other things that were gripping him and driving him. He's been in the lion's den. But now he has a testimony that is stronger than the lion's destruction. Every one of you, I could pick out any of you, you've all had that. David's had that with his parents and So is Marsha recently, and going through the lion's den, worried about their parents and cancer and old age and forgetfulness and all kinds of manner of things. And where will we put them? And it seems like every place we want to put our parents, it's in a lion's den. But let me tell you something. Our God can deliver you for His purposes. And whatever it is, the world's looking at all of us saying, are you dead yet? Are you succumbed yet? Are you filled with fear and anxiety? Or are you delivered by the power that raised Christ from the dead? And that is a true message of the story. God wants us to know that He will never ask us to do anything that He will not sustain us in. He will never ask you anything that is too hard for you. He will provide the courage at the time that you need it. He will provide the faith at the time that you need it. God will provide. Let us go before Him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, as we come before You this morning, we ask that You would come into each and every heart here, mine and every other heart, and that You would convict us of the things that we've done that are wrong, and that we might turn and look to the only source of saving grace that we can find, which You have placed in Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And no matter what kind of trials we're going through, no matter what kind of sickness, what kind of financial den we've been thrown into, they can steal our stuff, but they can't take You from us, because our treasure is in You. Father, whatever it is that we're in today, may we give it to You for Your purpose. If we're suffering physically, we give it to You, Father. You use it for Your purpose. Let people see how I respond to the challenges of the world because of my faith in You. Use me, use the circumstances around me and around us to show a pagan world that the light who came into the world was willing to give His life to bring it. And that those who follow Him daily lay their own lives down and into Your hands for Your purpose. Father, there may be someone here who's never done that, who's never come to a place where they've just surrendered everything. But Father, this could be the day that You have designed. And so Father, we openly invite anyone who wants to come forward and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior to do so. There may be some who need to rededicate their lives. They've been spending some time in the lion's den, but they've been whining and crying about it. They've been fussing, but they haven't been faithing You. They haven't sensed Your presence. They need to come back to their old-time faith so that they can feel the comfort of God. There may be some who have different callings on their life, different things, their friends and neighbors. They have something that you're wanting them to pray for today and have us pray for. We invite them as well. Whatever the purpose, Father, we ask that Your will might be done. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.